Welcome to Sincerely Sarah, a space where we'll talk life lessons and figuring it out as we go. Think of this as a heart-to-heart between friends, where no topic is off limits and you always leave feeling a little bit more seen. Hey y'all, welcome back to Sincerely Sarah. It is episode 3. I feel like this is the one that y'all probably have been waiting on the most, but I'm going to be honest, I didn't know when or how I would even be ready to record it. Today, I'm going to be kind of pulling the curtain back on everything that happened right after I won my title. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, the downright ugly. I'm going to talk about the cyberbullying, the comments, the way I handled it, what I wish more people understood about it. And overall, just kind of give you some tips on how to handle any negativity that has come into your life, whether it's something such as cyberbullying or another situation. So this episode, as real, as raw, and as honest as it's going to come, this is not going to be the perfect pageant queen, Miss Alabama answers. These thoughts and these opinions are coming straight from Sarah. And I kind of wondered if I needed to wait and hold off this episode until I gave up my title. But I decided that sometimes the best way to be a title holder and be a role model is to be real, despite if your opinion is one that is a little, I don't want to say controversial, but it's not perfect. And I know that it's okay for me to hold some anger and some ill feelings towards what happened. And today, I'm going to share that, despite never sharing that side of it before. So let's get into it. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I would recommend doing that before this one, because it really goes into depth about everything that happened before I won, some of the setbacks that I faced initially, everything that I put into winning the title, all the hard work, literally 365 days of prep. And it's definitely a longer episode. I'm sure this one probably will be too, but it really sets the tone for how much I worked for this and how on top of the world I was truly feeling after I accomplished this dream. But if you did listen, you do know how much heart I put into this. Winning should have been like the fairy tale ending, and in a lot of ways, yeah, it was. You know, I got to celebrate with my family, and I took in the moment, and you know, I got whisked away to take photos with Megan Gilbert, which was like a dream of mine. I've always wanted to take pictures with her, and just all these little fairy tale moments that I really feel like kind of nostalgic for that time in a way, because I was so oblivious to what had happened. I was just truly on top of the world. There are always going to be some girls that I competed with that have something negative to say about it, and we'll get into a little bit of that. I won't be saying names for them, but they know who they are if they're listening and watching, and that's just all we're going to say about that. But you know, in that moment, all I knew and cared about was the people that were lifting me up. You know, I got to see some of the friends that I had made over the pageant weekend. Brenna was one of them. You know, I talked about Brenna had won. Getting to live in that moment with her. And then in that, I met Jakenya, who is Miss Mississippi. We didn't really get to connect on pageant weekend. I guess our paths just never really crossed. I really don't know why we didn't become friends. And it's so weird to think about now how like close all three of us has gotten. And it's just like, wow, I wish we could have, you know, gotten, maybe we could have had our trio like pageant weekend. I don't know. It all worked out for the better. And I got to talk with Stacy. She gave me some of the best advice, some that I truly did use throughout my year. And I don't know if my year would have been what it was if it wasn't for some of the things that Stacy told me. But just truly on top of the world. So I'm not going to pretend like there wasn't just this one almost like honeymoon period of my win. And I immediately got to work. I think I started messaging people for appearances, for news articles, for all of it right away, because I wanted to make the most of every single day. Girl, I was not going to wait a week or two to, like, get started. I think I booked my first appearance the night I won. If not, like, the next morning when they messaged me back. Because I was up at, like, 1 a.m. messaging people. Like, hey, girl, I just won. Like, you know, if you need me to do an appearance. I booked my first appearance same or next day. And it was a ribbon cutting. It was so much fun. I still look back at that and just almost laugh. Because I feel like I didn't really know what I was doing. That period of, like, when you're trying to settle in to being a title holder, especially being my absolute very first time. But the next thing that happened was a news person. What's the word? She's not a news person. Oh my gosh. A reporter. That's her. A reporter named Summer messaged me from WKRG, which is a pretty large news station. It covers Mobile and Pensacola, which are two kind of big cities. And they also cover my little tiny town. We're not big enough or cool enough for our own news station. But she is a reporter and she messaged me and, you know, had heard about me winning. Actually, my brother messaged her and asked if I wanted to do a story. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And it started out, we were going to do it over Zoom. And then she messaged me and was like, hey, could you actually come down to the station? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I'm fresh off of a win. I don't even have, like, clothes to be a title holder yet, if that makes sense. I picked something out of my closet, and looking back, was it the best thing? Probably not, but girl, I didn't have anything else. Like, I was still trying to, like, build that pageant wardrobe up, and I just wore, like, everything in my pageant closet, so to say. So I put on this dress, and it was, like, pink silk with feathers. Again, looking back, I probably wouldn't wear that, but you know what? It has, like, a special place in my heart. I haven't worn it since. Anyways, so I got out and I'm such, like, a little geek, like a little old lady. Like, y'all know my platform is the buddy system and working with seniors. I have always loved watching the news, and I literally grew up watching WKRG Channel 5 and seeing all these people. She was like, do you want to meet Cherish Lombard? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I would love to meet Cherish Lombard. Cherish Lombard, unfortunately, was not there. They gave me, like, almost like my little dressing room in a way. It was really a bathroom, but they told me, like, I could go change in there, and it felt, like, so official and cool. And I even took a picture just, like, being so in awe that they even, like, had a space for me to change in. And I know it was just a bathroom, but, like, still, I just felt so, so cool, so official. Everybody was so nice. I met some of the nicest people at WKRG, and Summer was amazing. We found out that we are actually one day apart. My birthday is July 20th and hers is July 21st, and we were born on the same year. So really, really cool. And just, I don't know, it was just an amazing experience. We did the interview. Me and Summer talked about Taylor Swift. I guess see, like, some of the behind the scenes little tricks, and it was so much fun. It was just a really cool experience. I got to take pictures. The lighting, of course, was spectacular. We took pictures in the newsroom. I don't know, it was just so cool to do and see. And I used pretty much all my PTO competing at NAMM. So I didn't have very much PTO, but my boss was, like, still is very understanding and, like, so flexible for me and to let me take off and do all these things throughout my year. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go do this thing early in the morning. I gotta go. I can't miss this opportunity. And I'm gonna drive back and I'm gonna come to work. Super chill, super casual. Before I even made the hour drive home, I feel like I was in my office 5 minutes. And somebody come up to me and they were like, oh, you didn't tell me you were famous now. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, WKRG posted that article about you. Oh, I was like, I literally just filmed that. Okay. I went and looked, and I was not oblivious to the fact that there would be mean comments, but there were, like, already so quick. And that kind of shocked me a little bit. Of course, people tearing me down, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, and I say this, like, so truthfully, I'm the type of person that doesn't get to me. It truly doesn't. Like, I don't care what people say. And I think that comes from being in a space of, one, let's go back to episode 3. Like I said, if you haven't watched let's go back to episode 2. If you haven't watched episode 2, like, that'll give you a good backstory of who I am, why I'm here, and why I feel the way about things that I feel about. I literally gave up my dream over what somebody said, something mean that somebody said to me. Do you think I care, truthfully? Because moving past the mean things that he says puts me into this position, and I accomplished my biggest dream because of that. Do you really, really, really think that I care that a stranger on the internet, I like to say literally pixels on a screen, that's all these people are to me, that they have something negative to say to me? No, I don't care. So I scroll past it, whatever. And I stopped reading comments, and I kind of clocked out. I tell this at such like a, I feel like almost like an unreliable narrator in a way. I don't think I use that term right, but that's what I'm going to call it, because I feel like I clocked out of so much of it. And then the next thing that I really remember seeing is this girl that I competed with, and I always tried to like lift her up and support her, and like still to this day I will, you know, I really do wish the best for her and in absolutely everything that she does. But this girl that I competed with, she made a TikTok at the pageant, and somebody had commented, if this is a pageant, you should have won. And she was like, yeah, I didn't win. And then she like put my Instagram at on Instagram won. And the girl was like, yeah, I looked at her page and I, something like, she basically, yeah, she thinks that, or she still thinks that she should have won, which, great, you know, that's okay. Not everybody has to have the same opinion on if I should have won or if I shouldn't. You know, I think about like Miss America, Abby Stockard. Like, she's gorgeous and beautiful and, you know, very accomplished, and she definitely brought her A game. And even being from Alabama, like, truthfully, I don't know if she was going to be the girl that I would have crowned that night. I personally thought Texas should have took the title, but that doesn't make her any less of a good title holder just because she wasn't the girl that I would have crowned on that particular night. No, like, if we're being honest, any of the top 5 or top 15, or really, like, y'all, it's Miss America. Like, all these girls have won a state title. I'd say that just about all of them would be a good Miss America. But people are so focused on the winner and who should have won, and you're not in that interview room, and you don't get to see the full story of why that person is Miss America, or why I got to be named Miss Alabama. So that one really hurt, I think, more than anything, to see somebody that I competed with kind of shading me a little bit. And I don't know, that was the one that really, really got me. The next thing I really remember is sitting in my living room with my mom, and she gets a text with a Los Angeles area code. No, it was a New York City area code. And she was saying that she is from Entertainment Tonight, and she was trying to reach me. Mind you, she texted my mom that she wanted to do an interview with me. And I like looked up the number and I verified it and everything else. And I was like, heck yeah, this is so cool. Mind you, I checked comments and I didn't check another one. I did not search my name. I did not do anything. Like, I was clocked out, y'all. I did not know. And that's why I always tell people, like, other people probably know more about my story than I do, because I did not feed into it and I did not watch it unfold. But I was there when Entertainment Tonight started calling, and I was like, you know what, I can't just do this interview, I need to contact my director. So I contacted Hannah, who was our royalty coordinator, and from there she kind of contacted the Williams, Miss Rebecca, and Mr. Scotty, and from there, they were like, let us talk to the national office. And the national office was like, okay, let us verify that this is actually Entertainment Tonight. So Miss Mays, I'm assuming, or somebody, I really don't know who from there went where, but I think it was Miss Mays actually, contacted Megan Alexander, and she was the one that confirmed, like, yes, this is really Entertainment Tonight. They're really trying to contact you. And I was going to do the interview. I was going to set up a time. And I texted Laura about it. And I told y'all a little bit about Laura. Her just being just somebody that I trusted and built me up so much. And had even been so fiercely, like, defending me online. I texted Laura about it. And she was like, I really don't think you should do this interview. And I started thinking about it. And I said, you know what? I agree. And it wasn't because Laura swayed me any kind of way. That's all she simply said was she didn't think I should do the interview. And mind you, you know, that was one person's opinion versus the five people that I told so excited. Oh my gosh, you got to take this opportunity. This is incredible. This is amazing. And that's when I realized, no, I'm not going to do this because I don't owe an explanation to anybody. Why should I have to do this interview? And Megan was going to do it. So I don't think it was going to be anything of me having to explain myself and defend myself or what I had done. I think that if I were to do an interview, that would be the one, because Megan ended up being somebody so trusted and so in my corner. And we'll talk a little bit more about her later in this episode. That was the one interview that I would have done. But nonetheless, I just knew that protecting my peace was most important in that moment. So I turned it down. And I really had to, I don't know the word, like, I really had to come to terms with it, honestly, because I felt so selfish that so many pageant girls would give anything for that kind of opportunity to go on Entertainment Tonight and to talk about their passions and their platform and promote themselves and promote their system. You know, I could have had this big opportunity for NAMM, like, you know, and here I am turning it away. I could have promoted the system. Like, I had to go back and forth with it. But looking back, I'm so at peace with it. And we'll get to all that later. So that was Entertainment Tonight. The next day, TMZ called my mom and was like, hey, we're looking for Sarah. She's like number 10 trending on Twitter. Can we do an interview? And I was like, no, tell them no. Like, if anybody contacts you, I don't know why they were contacting my mom. To this day, it's still kind of a mystery to me, but they were contacting my mom and TMZ was calling, telling me I'm trending on Twitter. Listen, if I'm going to do an interview, TMZ, listen, love you, love you, love you, love you. Kind of don't, but like kind of do. Like, y'all really do get the tea. But TMZ, I'm sorry. If I'm doing an interview, it is not going to be with y'all. So sorry about it. Anyways, something in the midst of all this told me to Google my name. And I could have puked. That is when the anxiety hit, because I realized how big the story had gotten. I was oblivious, truthfully. Everybody's texting me, asking me if I'm okay. You know, people messaging me and following me and like trying, because I went private. So like people are trying to follow my account and you can't get through. I'm like, why are all these people following me? Like, what the heck? What is going on? Like, brands reaching out to me. TMZ is calling, Entertainment Tonight is calling, people are asking me if I'm okay, and I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I be okay? Like, I'm great. And I Googled my name, and I was like, oh, that's why I wouldn't be okay. And truthfully and honestly, it was never I'm not gonna say, actually, it was never really the cyberbullying and like what the people said to me that hurt me. The thing that caused the most trouble for me was all the articles feeling like everybody knew me, it caused me so much anxiety. And again, like, we'll get into that a little bit later in the episode about how that just truly affected my day-to-day life. But I, in that moment, felt so freaking anxious. It, the only way I can describe it, and it's something that until you experience it, you can't understand what I mean by this. And I pray that nobody has to experience that. But I would tell people, like, it literally feels like somebody put me in this stadium full of people and told me to stand on the 50-yard line butt naked. That's how it feels. Every insecurity, just everything about you is going to be picked apart by all hundreds of thousands of these people. And it feels so vulnerable, and you just want to hide, but you can't, because it's nothing but people just staring at you and judging you and saying this about you. And it's so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. I ended up making the Watch Me post, and I wish I could give y'all this, like, eloquent story about that, you know, I was laying in bed and I read a comment and it just came to me and it was so poetic and blah 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 blah. I don't even remember making that post, y'all. I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember making the Watch Me post. I don't remember when I did it. I don't remember what particularly made me want to do it, if it was the comments, if it was ET calling girl, I don't know. But I made it, and those are words that, even though they were not something that was planned, it is something that was truthfully from the heart and so raw, authentic, unfiltered emotions. And it's something that I look back at and I reference so many times throughout my reign, because I've said it before, Watch Me was not a threat. It was a promise. Nothing that I said was a threat that I was going to do this. No, I promise that I'm going to do that. Watch me do it. That post went viral for different reasons and kind of had people messaging me with more positive things to say. So Watch Me really changed my life in more ways than just that one. It introduced me to a positive audience. A lot of y'all listening might actually be here from that post. Mama Tot, who some of you may know, I feel like the more, like, northern people that I say it to, they don't know who Mama Tot is. But Mama Tot is a TikToker. She has several million followers on TikTok. But beyond that, she's just a good human. And she is someone that truly changed my life. She shared the Watch Me post, and she has such a positive and uplifting following that so many positive and uplifting people found me from that post, and it really shifted the perspective a little bit. I started blocking out comments. I started blocking out messages, making it where you couldn't just message me out of the blue, and it ended up kind of shifting the game a little bit to where people were now inspired about how I'd handled it with grace in class. And I will stick by it that I did handle everything with grace. But, you know, it was really, really, really hard. And having that support system, those people willing to build me up, that is what made me keep going. Because I'm going to be honest, I knew from the second that I decided to compete that there was going to be people that didn't agree with it, that thought that I shouldn't compete or thought that I shouldn't win and thought that I wouldn't be a good Miss Alabama. I never wanted to be their Miss Alabama. I wanted to be the Miss Alabama for the people that saw the Watch Me post and felt inspired. That is whose Miss Alabama I wanted to be, and I knew that all along. So Watch Me changed my life. It changed my outlook and my perspective. It brought me so many positive people, but it also brought me people that were so willing to so fiercely support me. We dropped Watch Me merch and people bought it. People were so excited and willing to sponsor my journey to nationals. And truthfully, I look back, I don't know if I would have been able to afford nationals in the way that I did, you know, without having debt or, you know, really stretching myself thin. I don't know if I would have been able to do that in the way that I did it if it wasn't for that post going viral, because people were so willing to help and support me. They wanted to get me to nationals and to succeed, like see me succeed. I had somebody that reached out to me asking what my biggest expense was. And I was like, oh, it's definitely going to be the hotel, $2,000. And they're like, okay, let me know. Just I'll send the money. And they did. And things like that, I'm so grateful for it. And to know that people not only loved me and loved my message, but loved me enough to want to support me financially or to send me a product that I could use during nationals and throughout my reign, to know that people were so positively affected by what I said that they wanted to support me in that way truly meant the world. Because I think pageant sponsors are great, truthfully. I think that they are necessary for some girls, and I think that it's great that we've kind of normalized being able to go out and make connections and get sponsors to pay for a pageant. But I also feel like if you're going to compete for a pageant, it is a hobby, and at the end of the day, you have to be ready and prepared to cover those costs. And that was something that I was willing to do. You can't just expect that people are obligated, that's the word I'm looking for, or obligated to cover the cost of your hobby, especially when at the end of the day, the hobby is kind of walking around in a pretty sparkly dress with hair and makeup, which not undermining pageants in any means, but I just feel like that's not anybody else's obligation to pay your way to do that. So having that like unexpected sponsorships and partnerships or just people moaning $5 because, you know, that's what they could afford, and you know, the amount didn't matter. It could have been 50 cent and I would have been so grateful for it, because that meant somebody took time out of their day and gave me some of their hard earned money. And I don't know, I've just always been so humbled and so moved by that people wanted to so fearlessly support my journey. I don't know. It's just insane to know how many people that I've touched positive, like in a positive way, beyond just them wanting to sponsor me, but the people that messaged me and told me that, you know, seeing me made them feel like they could go after their dreams, or seeing me reminded them that they can wear any outfit that they want to wear, and that they were able to see all this negative, like this dark cloud that felt like was surrounding me in this moment. They saw that. And beyond that, they saw something in me that gave them the strength to keep going. So, forever grateful. If you have been one of those people that supported me from the beginning, so much love to you. Truthfully, you saved my life. And even though I feel like I was really seen as this beacon of self-love and confidence, in that moment, I was not, because I had zero. I had very, very little, if that. And you guys are the ones that truly saved my life and gave me a reason to keep going in the absolute darkest moment of my life. And to anybody that supported me, sent me a kind message, told me to keep going, told me that I inspired you. And I know I didn't get back to everybody, because it was so, so hard. I could only, you know, check so many comments and so many messages before I get some mean ones. And it just, if I never even got back to you, but you sent something kind, if you told me you were proud of me, if you told me anything positive and just supported me, even if it was just a follow, you didn't even have to say anything to me. Thank you. You truthfully saved my life in the darkest moment of my entire 24 years of life. So now let's talk about the mean comments and the mean messages. Okay, let's talk about it. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, this is not the pageant answer. These thoughts and what I'm about to say is not coming from Namas, Alabama. It is not, okay? This is Sarah's thoughts. This is my thoughts, my opinions. If you go out of your way, if you have 24 hours in a day and you spend even a second of that engaging in negativity, leaving a mean comment, sending a mean message, harassing a stranger that you don't know online, telling somebody that they should kill themselves, that you're going to come to them and find them and kill them, that they're a farm animal, that they're an embarrassment to the state. If you go out of your way because you're so scared to say it with your chest that you have to make a fake account and that you have to do a fake profile picture with no followers and you only follow me so you can send me a mean message, you're weird. You're a weirdo. You are weird. Point blank simple. You're weird. You need to get a life. You're the scum of the earth. And I genuinely feel so sorry that your life is so miserable that you have to do something like that. Oh my gosh, you could read a book, bake a cake, like take a walk while you're at it, get lost. Not to quote Megan Maroney, but like you could do so many other things with your time and you choose to do that. You're weird. You're so freaking weird, actually. What are you doing? Because you're not doing anything productive. Honestly, that is kind of what I started doing when people started sending me messages. I would engage in some of them. I'd tell them that they needed to get a life, that they were weird. And I probably shouldn't have done that in that moment, but I did it anyways. Whatever, who cares? But I actually ended up starting sending people like lists of 50 things they could do besides leave a hate comment or send me a message. I kind of trolled back a little bit in my own little way. I do have a list of people that when I give up my title, I'm probably going to end up coming for because they deserve it. But anyways, nonetheless, I don't know. That is just so freaking weird to me. Think about what you're doing. If you're that person, if you're listening to this, chances are you've probably never left a hate comment or like sent a mean message. But if you are that person, like literally think about what you're doing. What are you doing with your life? Are you okay? Genuinely, are you okay? And that's another thing that I wanted to talk about. I learned that so many people that leave hate comments, it's because they truly are miserable in their own life and they are feeling, you know, suicidal or whatever else, and they just feel like they have nothing to live for. So they say something mean, do something mean. Crazy. And I do feel for those people, you know, get some help. And I mean that like so genuinely, like get some help, go to therapy. Don't leave a hate comment. There is better legacies to leave than a hate comment. And I don't know, it's just crazy. I've gotten a few people fired from their job. If you're going to leave me a hate comment, don't have your place of work in your bio because I will send it to your boss. Just a little piece of advice, little tip. So I'm very sorry to all the people that lost their job because they sent me a hate comment. Maybe think about your actions next time and don't do that. So love you. Kisses. So even though I joke that pixels on a screen, these people did cause a lot of anxiety and troubles for me in my day-to-day life. Like I said, I realized how big it was and it just really stressed me out. I was scared. I took several days to just lay in my bed, and thank goodness for such good state directors. I literally love my state directors. I love the Williams. If you're thinking of competing for NAM in Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, any of the Williams states, highly recommend because they're just truly that great. But I remember them reaching out and just being so kind and supportive. And I knew, like, this was so early on in my reign that I took some time off social media and I felt really bad about it. That, you know, in this moment, I just needed to take care of Sarah before I ever worried about being Miss Alabama. So I took some time off. I kind of stopped making appearances. I stopped posting on social media for a couple weeks. And in that moment, that wasn't their priority. They didn't care about the fact that I wasn't posting on social media every day. Their only worry was that I was okay. And Miss Rebecca told me, you know, take some time, cuddle with your puppy dog, lay in bed all day. If that's what you need to do, do it. Like, take care of yourself first and then worry about being a title holder. And I'm just so, so grateful for all of them. Everybody that, you know, from the NAM side that supported me. Of course, NAM ended up placing a statement and putting it out there. And I'm so grateful they did that because it takes a lot to stand up for somebody, truthfully. And it's hard to make a statement when so many people are focused on tearing you apart and tearing you down. So the fact that NAM was willing to post that and not just say that, you know, they stand by me, that I won for a reason, that, you know, I'm the title holder and that's that. But also to say that they're a place that all girls are welcomed, I think that was something that was really powerful, because not every system can say that. And some systems might tell you they're inclusive, but when it comes down to it, when it comes down to them having to say that, hey, we're inclusive and we welcome every single girl, they're not going to do it. I can promise you that. And I'm not going to name names, and I'm not going to call out systems, because that's not what this episode's about. But I will say that a lot of these systems will tell you they're inclusive, but they're not going to stick by it. They're not going to stand 10 toes down and say, yep, we're inclusive and we stand behind our title holders no matter what they are, who they look like, what they look like, who they are. That's it. But regardless, like, they're not going to do that. And the fact that NAM did that really does speak volumes about them as a system. And I think that we really need to support more systems like that. Not just NAM, but any system. Because there truly are some systems out there that, despite me never competing with them, they came out and said, like, look, we're inclusive. We don't care. You know, we're going to accept anybody in. Anybody, any system that was willing, like I said, to stand 10 toes down behind me, that is a system that you want to compete in. Or that's a person that is truly somebody that is inclusive and open-minded. Because it's so, so, so hard to stand up for somebody when the world is focused on tearing them down. And I applaud NAM and anybody else that did that. So moving on past that, lots of anxiety in my day-to-day life. I felt so anxious going into grocery stores and going into restaurants or stores or a baseball tournament. That was like the first place that I remembered going. And I literally wore my sunglasses all day because I was so scared. I just felt like people were going to recognize me and they were going to come up and say these things to my face or like attack me. Like, mind you, I was literally getting death threats. So I was truthfully scared for my safety. But I also refused to live in hiding at the same time. And I had people from my hometown. I live in the South Alabama, you know, of course. And we just have, like, I don't know. I love the people from my hometown. But, you know, just think of somebody from South Alabama. And I'm not saying, like, a mean and condescending way whatsoever. But I just think about them and just, I don't know, being, it's just an Alabama thing, like, being so down for, you know, you mess with one, you mess with all of us, and that's kind of, like, the mentality that so many people in my hometown have, and I'm so grateful for it. You know, I've had people that I, you know, went to high school with fighting off comments. I haven't talked to these people in years, you know, fighting these people, like, there's a guy that I went to school with, I haven't talked to him since graduation. We were, like, kind of friends in high school, I guess you could say. But, like, he was, like, literally screenshotting people's pictures that would leave a comment. And he'd, like, reply back to them and be like, yeah, you got a lot to say. Like, I don't know. Just the fact that so many people from my hometown, like, went to war for me. There's a man in my hometown that, like, every time he sees me, he would be like, yeah, I've been fighting some more of these bleep, 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 bleeps. And I don't know, just the fact that, you know, I thought that people were going to come and say, like, all these mean and negative things to me. And it was the opposite, because even though I've probably had 100,000, probably a million hate comments, I've never had not even one person say it to my face. So that goes to say a lot about everything, is the fact that they're not willing to do it and say it in my face. So, lots of anxiety. I ended up kind of getting over that, but I was in a moment that I was so anxious, so stressed, and about 2 weeks after it all happened, I was sitting in my office, minding my business, and my face just felt weird. I look in my phone camera, and I'm just not blinking right. I don't know what's happening. So, I wait, and it happened so quick, but my face ended up, like, half of my face ended up paralyzing. I came down with Bell's palsy, and I wasn't too worried. I was worried, but I knew it wasn't, like, a stroke or anything, because I had actually had this, like, random anxiety that I was going to get Bell's palsy. And I, like, before any of the stress or anything happened, like, literally before I won in the state, I
discovered Bell's palsy and started having all this anxiety that it would happen. Yeah, half my face paralyzed from the stress and the anxiety, so that was super fun. People are tearing you down for your looks, and then you look insane because you can't smile, you can't blink, you can't do anything. You eat and food falls out of your mouth. Awful, traumatic. We could do a whole episode about Bell's palsy and everything that went on. Now I can't take any pictures because, girl, no. Every appearance I go to, I'm having to, like, apologize to people for the fact that my face is paralyzed. You know, I'm trying to do these public speaking events, and I can barely even talk. Prepping for nationals, that was truly Bell's palsy through, like, a whole wrench in that, because how are you supposed to practice formal wear if you can't smile? Like, I cannot smile. I literally cannot smile. My mom's reminding me that 6 months before nationals that, you know, hey, Bell's palsy can last 6 months. Not really what I needed, Mom. Love you much. So super stressed about doing anything that I could to get my smile back, to kind of be back somewhat normal so I could continue to do all these things and these plans that I had. And, you know, that was really, really scary to see how stress and anxiety can affect you so physically. And that's something that I've been so passionate about, is don't ever let somebody get you to that point where you are seeing all these physical effects of stress and anxiety. And, you know, it was so hard to feel like these people literally took my smile from me. And that was something I really had to battle with, was I felt so defeated. And I felt like they took the part of me that I was most proud of, that through all this, you know, they couldn't take my smile away, that I was still proud of myself and I was smiling and, you know, whatever. But no, that ended up not being the case 2 weeks later. And I really had to deal with that on top of the cyberbullying. Bell's palsy was so, so hard for me. Harder than the cyberbullying itself, I feel like. And I honestly, if this is something y'all are interested in, I could do an entire episode on Bell's palsy and what I had to do to, you know, what, I'm no medical professional, but kind of some of the treatments that I did and therapies that I did to get my smile back where I needed it to be. But if that's something y'all aren't interested in, just let me know. But it's something that I did feel really, really alone in, and something I didn't know much about. So, you know, I'll probably end up doing an episode about it eventually, where hopefully I can give somebody a little insight and make them feel a little bit less alone if they're ever experiencing it. Anyways, yeah, so crazy to see how stress really, really just affects you like that. So I wish I could say that it didn't affect me and that I could say that I just brushed it off and moved on, but that's not always how it works, especially when you've given so much of yourself to something. It hurt, and it made me question things that I knew to be true about myself. It made me feel like I was just this headline. It made me feel like I was nothing more than the things that people said to me. And I would go out to, like, pageants, and I would have people, like, freaking out over me being there and be like, oh my gosh, you're famous. And I had this one girl come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, you get so many likes on your Instagram pictures. And I felt that I had been minimized to that. And I felt that that was my entire story for so long. But here's the thing, that was a chapter. And it was a chapter that I never, ever, ever want to relive. And I never want to experience in the way that I did, but it's a chapter that's in my story, and I wouldn't rewrite it. I wouldn't do a single thing differently. I would go to that interview over and over again. I really had to sit down and, like, relish with it and be like, you know what? If I didn't do that interview, then maybe none of this would ever happen. Maybe I wouldn't have to go through this. Nope. I would do that interview over and over again. If you could put me back into this end of May, start of June, whenever it was, I would have went, and I would have been so much more fiercely passionate about everything that I said. I would have made a point that my body is not what defines me, and that your body isn't what defines you. If you want to go after something, go after it. Don't wait until you lose the weight, or don't wait until you look how you want to look. Go after it. Work for it. Put in the work. you know, I saw somebody post this yesterday. She believed she could, you know, people say she believed she could, so she did. She believed she could, so she put in the work for it, and then she did it. You know, do that. Go after your dreams, no matter what your body looks like. And I would have shared that message 10 times more passionately than I did, because I don't think what you see when you look in the mirror should be a deciding factor on if or if you shouldn't go after the things that you want and the things that you're passionate for. No, if you believe in it, do it. 1,000%. This whole experience taught me something so important, that the way that people treat others says everything about them and nothing about you. So if you are experiencing any kind of toxicity in your life, whether it's cyberbullying to the absolute extreme, like something I experienced, or even just one person saying something negative to you, and this just doesn't have to be about pageants, this can be about anything in life. That's one thing I want people to take from Sincerely Sarah. I compete in pageants. It's a huge part of my story. It's, you know, there's different chapters that, you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about pageants, but a lot of them does center around pageants. But no matter what you do in life, I want you to be able to take something from this, whether you've never competed in a pageant or you've competed in 100. You know, what people say about you says more about them than it ever will you. People can attack me for my looks all day long. I don't have people that attack me for my personality. I don't have people that attack me for my kindness. And they, because they can't, because I live every day to be kind and uplift others. And that's okay. You can tear me down for my looks, but we could say so much about you and the kind of person you are if you're leaving these kind of mean comments. And if they're willing to do that, think about it. They're in a position that they think they can sit in this glass house and say all these mean and negative things about you while you're thriving, while you're going and winning a pageant title, or you're getting a job promotion, or you're doing something to make them talk about you. And that is something that you should be proud of, because nothing good, nothing that brings happiness is not, and nothing, none of that is going to come without negativity, truthfully. And one thing that I learned was, you know, when I was competing, nobody had nothing negative to say about me. Yeah, that one boy, but, you know, he was a toxic ex-boyfriend. Nobody had anything negative to say when I was just competing, but when I showed up and I won, that's when people had something negative to say. So that in itself speaks volumes. People are okay for you to just exist, but when you do well and you thrive, that's when people are going to have something to say. And success is going to come with this, with constructive criticism and opinions. But even though it comes with it, even though it comes with the territory, just know that bullying is never okay, plain and simple. It isn't something that you should stand for, something that you shouldn't allow to happen. It isn't something that you should let, I'm not going to say you shouldn't let it affect you, because that's okay. That's perfectly valid to let it affect you. But it isn't something that you should think defines you, because you are so, so, so much more than the things that people say. You know, people just tore me apart. They made me feel like I wasn't even human, that I was a name, a title, a picture for them to pick apart and post online and edit and, you know, make me look bigger than I was, or turn me green, and just all these little things, you know, comments about my body, my worthiness, my past failures, the things that, you know, just were cruel. And constructive criticism and opinions, that's okay, but bullying is never, ever, ever okay. And sometimes the best thing that you can do is to stand up for yourself. Never ever think that you don't have the right to stand up for yourself, because you do. So here's what I did. I let myself feel it, and I let myself be mad and sad and frustrated. I let myself be plain pissed off about it. And then I turned to the people that actually mattered. The ones that love me for who I am, the ones that loved me before I ever had a crown on my head, the people that, you know, that if I would have won or if I would have lost, that didn't change their opinion about me. I turned to them and they built me up and supported me and uplifted me throughout it all. And most importantly, I reminded myself that my purpose is so much bigger than a comment section. And I know I'm not the only one that's been through this. And if you're listening right now, you've ever felt like people are trying to tear you down for just existing, for simply being yourself, I see you. And let me be clear that, you know, that is not what defines you. Truthfully, you are so much more than opinions and more than likes and comments. And you are so much stronger than the other people that try to make you feel small. You are worthy and you are kind and you are confident and you are important. And you are so, so, so much more than a negative comment or any kind of negativity that comes into your life. So that's my story. And that is how it went down and what happened and what I learned from it. We'll get into a little bit more about it, I'm sure, in future episodes, especially when we talk about nationals, because it really changed the trajectory for me and all the things that I wanted to share. I didn't share or haven't shared any of this really until this episode, so new information, but in the back of my mind, it was kind of what was happening and what was happening behind the scenes and my thoughts and my opinions on it. So that is where we're at today. Still learning and still navigating and still choosing to show up as myself no matter what people say, because at the end of the day, winning the title is not what made me, and the hate that I received from it is not going to break me, and it should not break you either. So thank you for listening. This one was definitely tough to record and just let all my feelings come out and be passionate about it, but I hope that it reaches just whoever needs to hear this. If you've ever experienced cyberbullying or felt torn down by the internet or anybody in general, my DMs are open. I do try to check them, and I promise that if you've ever been through this, I want to support you so fiercely, because I know how it feels, unfortunately, and I know it's not always the best feeling. So let's keep creating a space where people can be real without fear. Thank you again for listening to this episode. I hope that it's one that was able to help you deal with any kind of negativity or toxicity that you're experiencing in your life. But until next time, sincerely, Sarah.